Eugene Merman is a Russian-born comic. He came to the United States when he was 4 years old. Eugene has spent more than 30 years making people laugh all over North America. Here's a fun fact about Eugene. He attended Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. While he was there, Eugene designed his own comedy major by performing a one-hour stand-up set as his thesis. Now that's my kind of thesis. You may remember Eugene from his role on HBO's Flight of the Conchords, or perhaps from his characters on Adult Swim's Delocated and the long-running sitcom Archer. These days, Eugene is probably best known for voicing Gene Belcher on the Fox animated series Bob's Burgers. Eugene joins us now to talk about his fascinating career and his latest tour, An Evening of Whimsy and Mild Grievances.
The origin story is that my comedy is whimsical and it has an element of mild grievance. So it is simply that it is factually accurate.
Yeah, yeah. That's factual accuracy. That's nice to see nowadays. Yeah.
From stand-up.
Yes, yes. You were born in Moscow. Your family came to the U.S. when you were only four. Did you experience any culture shock when you arrived in America, or were you too young to notice?
I don't know if it was culture shock. Like, it's not like I was used to the Russian Beatles, and here there were the regular Beatles, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say that I got here during the Cold War, and I think a lot of children had trouble distinguishing people who were communists for people who were fleeing communism, you know, so a lot of, you know, yeah, it was the 80s.
Yeah, Moscow on the Hudson kind of vibe, right? Would that be fair to say?
Yes, and a lot of kids watched that and were like, oh, it's more complicated than I imagined. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was the Cold War, definitely like when Russians shot down, I think, like a Korean airliner, then, you know, kids at school blame me. But otherwise, it was fine, and I liked America, and here I am.
Yeah, and we're lucky that you're here. You created a 9-volume album a while back. It's called Eugene Merman's I'm Sorry, You're Welcome. And on one of the volumes, you teach Russian. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I have a lot of different volumes from, there's one that's over 45 minutes of crying, so that I could put a sticker on my album that said featuring over 45 minutes of crying. And then there's one where I teach Russian, and I teach a lot of phrases that probably don't really come up in everyday life, but we'll see. You're welcome to use them. You're welcome to give them a try.
Your spy wouldn't know how to trick a child. Твой шпион бы не знал, как обмануть ребенка.
Absolutely, yeah. And isn't there one that has laboratory sound effects, or as our British fans would say, laboratory effects, or not?
Well, there's sound effects that I make with my mouth. So there's a whole amount of, you know, me making various sound effects with my mouth that people are welcome to use as Foley in their films.
A huge pile of dirty shirts with their feelings hurt by a smaller pile of similar shirts.
There's also something called digital drugs, which is audio that is meant to have the physiological effect of drugs. And most people, when they make these sorts of things, you know, will make like things like marijuana or cocaine. But I also have things like amoxicillin. So if you have an ear infection, just listen to my track. You'll be fine.
Don't listen to this on an empty stomach.
Good advice. Thank you for sharing this excellent medical advice. You've been doing stand-up for 30 years. How do you think your comedy has evolved over that time?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's there's roots of what I sort of would do when I first started kind of at the end of high school and in college. And it's sort of grown from that. I mean, I think that when I started doing stand-up, you know, it had sort of, you know, there was a big crash of stand-up in the kind of 90s after the boom of the 80s. And I think in general, what I would do is I would try stuff on stage. And so if it was funny, it would become my stand-up. So now in general, I have things where I tell stories or do jokes, but I also sort of hold up pieces of paper to show that something is a true story. Or, you know, I do a variety of things or read letters. And a lot of that is sort of the evolution of you try it at a show, and if it's funny, you keep it as stand-up.
What Eugene and his friends were doing was something different. It was downtown, and it kind of burst the alternative comedy world that we're all living in now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but early on, you would often show videos, like videotapes, and that's something that Michael Ian Black said about you, that he said, I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, I think that, you know, before sort of it was easy to put video online, a lot of stuff I would do was I would make these sort of homemade videos and show them at shows as part of the thing. I don't have any videos, I think, in this tour, but also do various, you know, multimedia things. I talk about actually the album that we just discussed and do little excerpts and then tell some stories involving it. So yeah, I in general have a multimedia aspect, but in this tour, not specifically video.
I remember Eugene doing things with slides and phone calls. The idea that you could incorporate elements into your work.
Reading its own thing, D minus, worse than regular English. You're like, you write very badly, and you read a little worse than that.
What was the first joke you ever wrote? Do you remember?
I do remember the first joke I ever wrote. I guess I did it when I was 18. I probably wrote it when I was 17. But it was, what profession do you think has the highest suicide rate? A lot of people think it's dentists, but it's actually kamikaze pilots. That was my first joke.
Yeah. And how did it go over when you first did it?
Pretty good. I mean, it went well. You know, of the jokes I had, it first of all made sense, and it did pretty good. And then sort of building on that over a period of years of trying to make more things that made sense and were clear, though mm-hmm. while trying also a lot of very silly sort of oddball things. But yeah, it was sort of a clear one-liner joke mm-hmm. that is also factually accurate.
Yes, and very funny. Very funny. One of your many great accomplishments is the Eugene Merman Comedy Festival. What is the origin story behind that?
I did a weekly show in Brooklyn with my friend Julie Smith Clem, and I don't know what was happening in New York, but there was some event that made me sort of joke to her and Mike Birbiglia at the time, because he was on the show. That we were joking around after the show, and I said I was going to do a Eugene Merman Comedy Festival. And then I was like, of course, I'm not really going to do that. You know, and it was, you know, I was not a well-known comic or anything. It was a particularly ludicrous thing to suggest. But then from that came the idea that we should do it because it would be so silly. After a show that Julie and I did at Union Hall, me, her, and Mike Birbiglia were hanging out and joking around.
We were drinking, and Eugene said... I have this idea. What if we made a festival that's just making fun of other festivals? And Julie and I go, yeah, that sounds great. And then they did it, and they cut me out and literally made billions of dollars.
When it began, the joke was sort of like, I'm just a guy who does comedy and I'm doing this festival near me. And in fact, we thought it would be a one-off. And then over the years, we kept doing it. And then at some point around year 4, 5, or 6, we were like, I guess we have to do 10. And it was really fun. And then after time went by, we decided to do a second one. And then that sort of, you know, grew into doing a decade of these very silly shows.
That's great. Yeah. Many people first came to know you from your role on the indie comedy series Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, it's good.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, thanks for the suggestion.
How did you know that?
I read it in a book.
What book?
Just a normal book, nondescript, just a book I had.
Just a book? Just a normal book?
Just a very normal book. Just a super...
That tells you where to go and sell your body.
Just a normal book with just all kinds of facts. That's one of them.
What was the title of the book? Yeah.
Just How to Get It Done.
How did you first connect with Brett and Jermaine?
I did a show in Edinburgh, I think in 2005, and then so saw them then. And then also met them through, I think, Dimitri Martin, who had done a show maybe before that, and they were sort of starting to come to the U.S. So we did shows together in like small venues in New York, and I think they were at the Aspen Comedy Festival when I was there. So sort of, it's like kind of like anything, you sort of meet people that you end up really enjoying and working with. So, you know, they had I auditioned for the role of Eugene, though they had written it for me, Eugene.
Mm-hmm. And this is also where you worked with your future Bob's Burger co-star and sister, Kristen Schaal. Is this when your yes. great sibling relationship was formed?
To a degree, though. The truth is we both did stand up in New York and knew each other from doing each other's various shows. She started a show with Kurt Braunohler called Hot Dub, and then I had a show called Bite Them Up that she would do and they would do. But we did stand up together for years in New York, you know, and that was, yeah, Concords was the first show I think that we did together, but we had been already known each other for years. And in fact, the whole cast of Bob's Burgers, you know, Lauren Bouchard, who created it, is from Massachusetts. And I, you know, I knew him when he was working on Dr. Katz. He would come to the comedy club that I used to do stuff at. And, you know, I met John Benjamin there, and Dan Mintz went to school in Cambridge, and I had met him there. So we had all sort of known each other for a long time. Larry, I knew, who plays Teddy and various other characters and doing stand-up in the late 90s in Boston. So, you know, we all have actually known each other for over 20, 25 years, mostly.
Mm, and that would explain the really good chemistry, I think, among everyone.
Yes, Lauren actually cast the show sort of himself, like picking each person for each role. And then we sort of over a few years would go in and record and develop things. And I think one of the things he really liked was the pre-existing familial relationship with so many of us, because we had all worked together in stand-up and had known each other for so long.
I'm eating them.
I want to learn how people are made.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious.
Because your mom and I do know about that.
I already know how they're made.
Oh, how?
Louise.
Yeah, they send them to you from the FBI.
Oh, what's that an acronym for?
Finger Blasted Incorporated.
All right, Finger Blasted.
You know that fingers don't make people.
What?
They don't.
Oh, I thought you put your finger into a belly button and you do the right combination.
You're thinking of the movie E.T.
No. You, of course, provide the voice of Gene Belcher on Bob's Burgers. Gene plays pranks and he also plays the keyboard. What do you and Gene have in common?
I think a certain probably goofy warmth. You know, Gene is probably not what I was like as a kid, but what I would be like if I was a kid now, to a degree. But I think he has, he's sort of a goofy, warm jokester. So I don't know if that might be a bit of what we have in common. And a love of food.
Right. And maybe some whimsy, would you say? We know that you
and
have
whimsy.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that Gene has whimsy.
Mm-hmm. You have said a lot of comedy is you make a thing. You make a TV show, you write a book, someone else isn't beating you to your book, someone else isn't beating you to your stand-up. So I have to ask, what thing have you not made that you still want to make?
More stand-up. I think a lot of that... I would consider, I've never written like a book of essays. That could be really fun. I have not made like a feature film, though. It's not like I know how to. So I think I would really have to want to learn how to write a movie. But I also really love working on projects with friends. So sometimes there's things where I think of collaborating with friends on different things. But there's many things I haven't made. Getting back into stand-up is one of those things. So it's very fun working on new jokes, new stand-up, touring. You know, it's something that I did for so long, for such a big part of my career. But also now I have like a son and, I want to largely be home to be with him. So I don't tour quite as much, but it's been nice still doing
that. Makes sense. Yeah, that's Oliver, right? That's the name of your
yeah,
son?
Yeah, it is. What, he has a name.
Eight.
He has a name now.
Surprisingly
yeah.
enough. Eight, yeah. That's great. You mentioned you would consider writing a book of essays. Have you ever thought about writing a memoir?
Sure. I think they're probably some... intersect in some way, so it'd be something like that. I don't know what the difference. I think to phrase it as a book of essays sounds less like here's my life story and more here's a bunch of hopefully good stories, but
yeah,
it probably would intersect in some way. I think that's a matter of branding. I don't know.
Branding. That's a big thing these days, isn't it? Yeah. Eugene
yes.
Merman, thanks for joining us today. And congrats on your tour, Evening of Whimsy and Mild Grievances.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This was great.
Eugene Merman is a comedian and the voice of Gene Belcher on Fox's animated series, Bob's Burgers. Find out more about Eugene and his comedy at WPR.org/beta.
For me, one of the most satisfying things about novels or stories can be when you start out thinking a certain way about a character, and by the end of it, your experience of that person has been entirely changed.
Coming up, Yael van der Wouden on her incredible debut novel, The Safe Key. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.